COVID-19, questions and answers in this one-on-one conversation with Vista Radio Director of News, Wendy Gray.
Joining me today is Ontario's Minister of Finance, Rod Phillips. Minister, thank you for taking the time out today. It's been a busy day.
Well, Wendy, thanks for having me on. But important day. We're going to be able to move to the second stage in some big parts of the province, and that'll mean more opening up for people, which is good to get to announce.
Mm-hmm. So for such a large part of the province, with many moving into stage two of the reopening process on Friday, can you tell us about how the decision was made to reopen these parts of the province and the particular businesses allowed to reopen? Because I can tell you, I'm excited for a haircut, and I know a lot of people are excited to have a beverage on a patio. So how is this done?
I wouldn't want to bury the lead, but I think those might be the two most important or interesting things from people I've talked to as well. But you asked about how, and back at the end of May, we laid out as a government a three-stage process, and we said we were going to listen to the public health officials, listen to the science, and wait to make sure that the cases were going down, make sure that we had the hospital capacity in place, that we could trace cases, and that has all, you know, come into place now for large pieces of the province. So, again, consulting with the Chief Medical Officer of Health, with our health officials, and also with local health officials, they were able to say, you know, that we're ready now to move from stage one, that was, you know, a really important first step we were able to take in the province, to stage two in some really large parts of the province. Now, you know, stage two is going to include a wide range of businesses, some of them weren't able to open before and some that can open more than they were. So, you know, restaurants and bars, for example, have been able to do delivery and takeout. But now, as you mentioned, they're going to be able to open up their patio. And in fact, we've put provisions in place with the Alcohol Gaming Commission so that if they need to expand a patio or let's say they have a parking lot, that they're going to be able to open up that area as well. As you mentioned as well, the sort of personal service businesses, first and foremost, for a lot of people, I think, is haircuts and as well as other kinds of personal services. Those sorts of things are going to be available. And then, you know, other changes that are going to be important, shopping malls, because we were allowing retail to open, but only if had a storefront. So shopping malls, but not the food court areas, the restaurant or the takeaway food will be available, but people won't be allowed to congregate in the food area for now. You know, when it comes to water and outdoor sports, we're opening the, you know, outdoor and indoor swimming pools and splash pads, but things like slides and other kind of climbing structures, water parks, wave pools, they're not going to be permitted to reopen at this point. And so the public health people have been very careful about thinking, what are the things we can do safely? And of course, all of this still relies on everybody still making sure that they're very careful. The COVID-19 virus is still out there. We've seen the cases go down. We certainly don't want to take a step backwards, so we've all got to keep making sure that we're being careful.
I asked this question earlier during the Premier's briefing, but a lot of these businesses have been shut down since mid-March with no income or revenue source. And I know the province is continuing with deferrals of taxes and WSIB and lower electricity rates, which is all very helpful. But is there any other financial assistance available now or in the future?
Well, you know, as the Premier said, everything's on the table when it comes to the future. Right now, we're making sure that people are taking advantage of the programs. You mentioned a number of the provincial programs, but also the federal programs that are available and then some joint programs. There's a commercial rent subsidy program. The federal government also has provided a loan program, as well as some subsidies for the payroll of various companies. So a lot of the time right now we're trying to make sure that people are taking advantage of the programs that were there. But we know that we're going to have to look. I mean, this has been and remains a global health crisis, and there is a economic challenge that comes out of that. So we're going to have to, you know, keep listening as we have been, make sure that we put the programs in place to support people. And really, you know, what I know you hear as well is most of these businesses just want to get up and operating again. But they're going to have to do that in a safe way when they're ready to do it.
So I guess that's a good point. When they're ready to do it, it doesn't mean you can jump the gun and open up on Friday. You have to follow the regulations set out for your particular business sector or industry.
That's right. And the Ministry of Labor has worked really closely with the Chief Medical Officer, with safety associations. They've produced over 100 different guidelines. And so almost whatever business people are in, there are guidelines there for them. So if it is a hair salon, there are guidelines available that would say, you know, how should you operate, and through all the various types of businesses that will be reopening. So the other piece is, and this has happened everywhere around the world, we've been watching closely as places reopened in different jurisdictions. There is always a slower reopening than people might expect. Even the, you know, the businesses that can open, fewer of them open right away because they want to get ready. They want to make sure they do it correctly. In some cases, fewer employees come back because some people still have concerns and because there are government programs that support them if they're not working. And then customers can come back more gradually than people might expect. So those are all things that we've seen around the world. We should expect to see that here. But obviously, the sooner we get up and operating, the better it'll be for the businesses and for employees and for all of us as customers, or certainly all of us who need a haircut.
For sure. You're singing off my same song sheet. Are you concerned some of these places may see an influx of more people? And I'm specifically talking about cottage country and areas north. Are you concerned that they may see more people because more of those areas are opened up with businesses and services than the GTHA? And is there a concern that we might start to see more cases in these areas?
Well, Wendy, we're going to have to monitor that very closely. But as you know, it's been a gradual process. There was a time where we were not wanting people to go up to cottages. That changed and evolved. Initially, though, we didn't want people to be going in and shopping locally, but now the local communities in many cases feel more comfortable with that. Just very recently, we opened up the weekly and other cottage rentals, and now as part of this as well, we'll be opening up campgrounds, both public and private, and other things that people are used to going to, whether it's the drive-ins or some of the mini putt, the go-kart track, some of the things that people often associate with, you know, their time off and going up to cottage country. So we're going to have to be careful. We're going to have to keep monitoring it. But that's why we wanted to wait until we had already seen the really positive progress in terms of cases. And then, again, we just need everybody to keep doing what they've been doing in terms of being responsible so that we keep making that progress forward.
Minister, the Premier said today, I'm shifting gears on you a little bit because I think this is really important for our listeners too, especially small businesses. He mentioned today that only 7,000 commercial landlords have applied for the Commercial Rent Assistance Program. Anecdotally, we've seen comments that the application process is laborious. Could that be one of the reasons so few commercial landlords are applying for the funding?
Listen, any government program, even the ones that run well, a lot of people would describe the process as laborious. I think the fact that thousands of landlords in just a little bit over 2 weeks have applied is, you know, in that sense shows that it can be done. But, you know, we weren't satisfied with the progress on that front when the program was introduced by the federal government, and all of the provinces signed on to the program, and we've put about $250 million forward towards what will be, you know, over $1 billion at the end of the day of support for rents. We wanted to make sure that people had the time to take advantage of it. What we did today was say that, you know, we want to see faster progress. So that's why we're going to be banning commercial evictions for a period. I think that's just the right thing to do. We can't not have landlords participating. A lot of landlords are great and trying to, but we need to make sure that everyone who has tenants who are eligible for this are able to take advantage of it. Small business is just too important.
So that begs the question, why did the province stop short of making the rent assistance program mandatory?
Well, it is a program that we do federally. So when you think about the fact that the landlords won't be able to evict, that is somewhat close to the same thing. We obviously, if people, in some cases, and I've had a number of conversations where landlords and tenants have come to their own arrangements, and, you know, where that's happening and there doesn't have to be a government subsidy and there doesn't have to be an eviction ban, of course that would be better. But the reality was, with this unprecedented shutdown, we knew that there was going to be, you know, tens of thousands of businesses that needed the support. So that's why the program was put in place in the first place. And I think now it'll be much more effective.
What advice do you have for a tenant that has received an eviction notice? What do they do until the legislation is passed? And of course, with a majority, we know it's going to likely get passed. What should they do?
Well, what we announced today was, and I wouldn't want to give any advice to specific businesses. They would need to seek their own advice. But we are going to be making sure that it's retroactive to June the 3rd. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, and this is what we've said certainly to landlords, and I've said to landlords, is the person who's been your tenant for the last number of years is likely to be your tenant going forward. Given the challenging economy that we know we're going to be in for a while, there isn't going to be a big lineup of new tenants wanting to fill that space. So we'd really encourage those tenants and landlords to get together. Of course, now there's more of a reason with the eviction ban, and take advantage of the program that is in place. We want to see these small businesses succeed. We want to see the landlords succeed as well. And so, you know, getting 75 cents on the dollar for that period for a business that has been severely affected by COVID, we think that's quite fair.
Minister, we are at our 10 minutes. I wanted to thank you very much for taking this opportunity with us today.
Wendy, thank you so much, and thank you to your listeners. And if people are interested in getting the details on the businesses that are open, they can go to ontario.ca/reopen. So that's just a bit more information on all these areas.
Thank you very much, Minister.
Thank you. Take care, Wendy.
For breaking news and the latest local impacts, keep listening to This Vista Radio Station.